But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. He says they shall mount up with wings as eagles.
God's servant, Mike Mambong.
God, be thou exalted, Father, be thou glorified. Thank you, Lord, for the power of your word. Thank you, Lord, for the door of faith being opened. And thank you, Lord, for the door of utterance. Receive all the glory, Father, even as we receive your word with meekness and gladness, O God. Our heart is open to receive the full measure of what you have in store for us. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Can you celebrate Jesus? Amen. Hallelujah. Can you celebrate God? Hallelujah. Amen. Lastly, can you celebrate the Holy Ghost? Amen. Hallelujah. And lastly, can you celebrate the Godhead? Amen. Hallelujah. Please walk up to at least two people and tell them how beautiful or handsome they are looking. Amen. You can have your seats. Hallelujah. Are you ready for the word this morning? Amen. Are you ready for the word of God this morning? Amen. By God's special grace, I'll be teaching you on a topic today I titled The Truth About Being Born Again. Amen. The truth about being born again. Can you turn to Romans? Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Can you turn there? Romans chapter 8. Can you turn there? Amen. When we say, when a believer says he's a born again, I'm a born again, she's a born again, he's a born again, what does it really mean to be born again? All of you here are born again, right? Right? Come on, talk to me, you're born again, right? What does it really mean to be born again? When you say you are born again, what do you mean? Amen. What is the life of a born again? What is the truth about being born again? How well are you acquainted with who a born again is? Amen. Why even the term born again? Hallelujah. Many Christians say that. Have you ever heard this before? While I was in the world, things were moving on fine. When I decided to be a Christian, suddenly my life started becoming worse. Have you heard that before? Have you heard that before? If that has happened to you personally, or you've heard anybody saying that, then the person was never born again to begin with. It's that simple. Because you cannot equate and compare the life of a believer and that of a non-believer. You cannot compare by any standard. What I mean is, a non-believer is not your mate by any standard. It's not pride, it's just the truth. You have something they don't have. You have somebody they don't have. You have the person of Christ. A non-believer doesn't have the person of Christ. Hallelujah. So you cannot say, when I became born again, my life became useless. My life just turned around. Things were not working. It therefore means that you were not really born again, or you don't understand what it means to be a born again. Hallelujah. The truth about being born again. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Please ensure you are looking into your Bible. Amen. It says, therefore, there is now no condemnation, nor judging guilty of wrong for those who are in Christ Jesus, who live and walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit. Amen. It says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. When you got born again, you became a Christian. You see, Christ is not just a name, but is equally a place. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Now it says, there is therefore now no condemnation for them who are in Christ Jesus. Condemnation there is from, the word condemnation is from the Greek word katakrima. Amen. And it means there is no impending judgment. Hallelujah. Let me explain what that means to you. It therefore means, as a believer, God has given to you a life that is unique. A life void of every judgment. You are free from any snare of the enemy. Amen. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. But here is the point. It says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Listen attentively. For a child of God, when you are born again, there is a character you have. There's a mindset you walk with. It says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The Amplifier says, who walk not according to the dictates of the flesh. So, when you became born again, a life was delivered to you. A life to walk according to the dictates of the Spirit, not the dictates of the flesh. It tells you of a kind of life you have received. That therefore means, as a child of God, the moment you confess the Lordship of Jesus and you became in Christ, the pattern of your life changed You were patterned to walk according to the Spirit. Hear me. You did not get born again, and God left you in the flesh and told you walk your way to the Spirit. No. When you got born again, you were translated into the kingdom. You are now in Christ. And by default, your walk should be in the Spirit. That is why a child of God should not struggle to walk in the Spirit. If you are struggling to walk in the Spirit, then something is wrong. Instead, you should be struggling to walk in the flesh. That is, why must you? Some of you don't understand what I mean. Let me bring it down a little to the natural for you to understand. Can I ask you a question? Can you hear me? If I come to you now and I give you 10 million naira, right? Will you struggle to be rich? Will you struggle to have money? You won't. Will you struggle to buy things? Why? You have 10 million naira. You possess it, right? When he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after. Did you see that? In other words, you are incapable of walking after the flesh. He says, but after the Spirit. When you became born again, you were customized to walk by the Spirit. So if there's anything you should struggle doing, if at all you must, is walking in the flesh. But why should you? It amazes me when I see believers try to walk in the Spirit. Come on, I live there. Have you heard? I was in the Spirit. How comes you came out before? How did you come out? How did you come out from the Spirit? I watch and I see Christians struggling to live the life God has called them to live. And I tell people, sometimes I try to be carnal. What that means is not engage in fleshly thoughts. Sometimes I try to be normal. Why? Because I came to an understanding that a life has been delivered to me as a child of God. And that's the life of walking in the Spirit. So if you are a child of God and you are walking in the flesh, you are living a lie. You are living a lie. Let me bring it down to the natural for you to understand what I mean. For a child of God walking in the flesh is like the son of the president begging for a loaf of bread. You say, how is that possible? That's the life some of you live. But you see, you have been struggling because you didn't know one thing. That you were made to walk in the Spirit. You were made to walk in the Spirit. You are walking, but this time around, in the Spirit. In other words, the Spirit is like the vehicle in which you walk in. If you walk in the flesh is like the vehicle in which you walk in. So let me ask you. If you are inside a car, are you responsible for making the car move? Are you responsible for making the car move? You are in a car seated. The driver does the driving. All you do is what? Sit. And the driver what? Drives. Right? He says we walk in the Spirit. Listen, when you became born again, the Holy Ghost became the custodian of your life. So he decides and determines what happens. Have you seen some believers in church? Everybody is testifying to the goodness of God except them. You see, most of the times what people say, I'm born again. Listen, just because you were born in a Christian home does not make you born again. Can you hear me? Just because you were born in a Christian home, your parents were Christian, doesn't make you born again. Just because you went to church doesn't make you born again. Being born again is not by attending church. It's not by attending church. Many believers, what they call giving their life to Christ, is just a hearsay, just something they did, not because in actual reality, they did give their life to Christ. Listen, the only thing that will guarantee a struggle-free, a stress-free, a trouble-free life for you is you being born again. So you can only live a struggle-free life if indeed you are actually born again. Let me help you understand what I mean. Somebody came to church, believer A and believer B. When they came to church, they heard the message from the man of God. Hallelujah. As believer A was hearing the word, conviction was building up in his heart. Believer B was moping around. Then towards the end of the message, the man of God said, talked about salvation, the reality of hell, and said, do you want to give your life to Christ? And believer A, out of conviction, came out to give his life to Christ. Believer B, out of emotions, came out to give his life to Christ. And then the preacher said, say after me, Lord Jesus. Believer A and believer B say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Come into my life. You see, believer A and believer B is saying the same prayer of salvation. But believer A will be saved and believer B will not be saved. Not because God is wicked, but because believer B was saying the prayer out of emotions. Not conviction. Just turn over before we come back to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Are you there? Can somebody read verse 8? Verse 8. Hold on. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee. Even in where? And the word is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth. Which is what? The word of faith which we preach. Verse 9. Hold on. That if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart, thou shalt be saved, right? Some ministers have gone ahead to tell people some very ignorant things like, don't worry, even if you are not sure, just go ahead and confess it. When you confess it with time, you live in the reality. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, so just confess it first. Wrong. What validates your confession is your believing. Now, you read King James and it says, thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, right? Now, the special Greek word translated and there has several synonyms. One of the synonyms is but. Another of the synonyms is indeed. So a more choice word that should be used is indeed, not and. So it should be, if thou shalt confess with your mouth, indeed believing in your heart, thou shalt be saved. That is why verse 10 gave us the perfect picture. It says what? For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For with the heart man believeth. With the heart. Emotions is a thing of the mind, not a thing of the heart. For with the heart is there talking about the spirit. Most of the times when the word heart is used, when you see the word heart in the New Testament, from the Greek, it's synonymous to the spirit. It says, for from the heart, from the spirit, man believeth unto righteousness. Now, believe there is a verb. It involves action. In other words, something did happen in your heart. A conviction did rise in your heart as to this God you heard of. And that conviction, listen, confession is only validated when it is spoken out of conviction. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth. In other words, what propels a confession from the mouth is as a result of the conviction in the heart. Without conviction, your confession is invalidated. So you see, what many Christians call being born again is their reacting based on their emotions. That's why they are telling you they are born again today. They'll go out and they'll see drinking alcohol. But when you do have an encounter, let me help you understand. So both believer A, which gave their life to Christ out of conviction, and believer B, who made the confession out of emotion, they now said they are Christians, in quotes. Then they start coming to church. Believer A, because confession was made out of conviction, suddenly gains authority and start living the life God has called him to live. Suddenly the bad things believer A can't do anymore. Suddenly the wrong things believer A can't do anymore. Suddenly believer A just has time and interest for God's word. Suddenly, believer A is walking in the spirit because the confession he made was based upon conviction. Suddenly, everything that is not Christ-like, believer A starts putting it away. Believer A starts putting the wrong friends away. Start putting the wrong company away. Why? Conviction. The Holy Ghost talks to believer A. Why? He says, by one spirit are we all baptized into one body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. So the spirit keep witnessing to believer A. So believer A goes out. And the Holy Ghost tells believer A, you see this life that you've now received, it's not a life where you party anymore. It's not a life where you live uselessly anymore. And believer A keeps confirming. Keeps confirming. Keeps confirming. The mind of believer A is being renewed with speed.
Suddenly, believer A knows and understands. Believer A spends time chewing on God's word. Believer A spends time in prayer. Because the confession was made out of conviction. Here is believer A, believer B now, who confessed out of emotion. After the confession, he went out and he goes back to the party. After the confession, he goes out and he goes back to being drunk. After the confession, he goes out and he still goes out with the wrong company. And do all the things he normally does without any form of remorse. Do you know why? Let me tell you why. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. In other words, you are exempted from condemnation only if you are in Christ. And what gets you into Christ is conviction, not emotions. Believer B never confessed out of conviction, but out of emotion. Therefore, he is still outside Christ, and the condemnation of the world still stands. Therefore, he tries to be godly, but he can't. He tries to stay with the word, but he can't. He tries to stop smoking, but he can't. He tries to stop drinking, but he can't. Why? The exemption power, the exemption principle of Christ that would have separated him, that would have stopped the judgment of the world upon his life, was absent because the confession was from an emotion, not conviction. That is why. That is why. So you see, every impending judgment, every condemnation, I told you the word condemnation is from the Greek word katakrima, and it means impending judgment. That means when you became born again, you are exempted from the suffering of the world. You are exempted from any manipulation of the devil. When you became born again, that means when you were not born again, the devil had every right to inflict you with sickness, and you had no defense. He plays with your life. You become a pawn in a chess game. He pushes you where he wants. But when you became in Christ, every condemnation was canceled. It was expelled. It was vanquished. You became a new creature. You became a new man. Not existing in the world anymore, but in Christ. But what gets you there is a confession based upon conviction. So gradually, still believer A and B, believer A start harvesting testimonies. The hand of God is written all over the life of believer A. He's a testifier unto the glory of God, of God's love, of God's mercies, of God's kindness, of God's goodness. And then believer B is here sitting down in church without testimony. Instead, the devil is wrecking his life from one angle to the other. And then it now looks like God is not fair. It now looks like God is unjust. But is God unjust? No. God is not unjust. It is because believer B didn't actually receive the God. And you see, God says, I respect my word above my name. He does have principles, and he walks by them. So the best God can do for believer B is to keep talking to believer B to indeed actually give his life to Christ. Because giving your life to Christ is not based upon emotions. No. It's based upon conviction. I grew up in a Christian home. As far as I can remember, I grew up seeing myself going to Sunday school. The moment I can differentiate left from right. So I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up with my parents having devotion every day, praying every time. But I knew when I gave my life to Christ. I came to a point where I had to make a personal decision to follow Christ. Mine was a unique encounter anyway. But that's God's personal dealing with me. Just because I got saved that way does not mean every person has to be saved that way. No. Why? I am different. You are different. But understand this. You see, you are born again. But I'm trying to make you understand why the life of some Christians is the way it is. Why do you think the Bible says, and I will tell them, they will say, I've done this, I've done this, I've done that. And I'll tell them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. It's right there in the word. Why do you think God will say that? Because from the inception, they were never born again. Listen, just because somebody is wrought miracles does not mean the person is born again. Just because somebody prophesies does not mean the person is born again. The question is, of which spirit is the person prophesying? You read in the Old Testament, I think in Numbers chapter 20, God was talking to Moses, and he says, by this sign shall ye know it, a true prophet of God. He says, that prophet that speaks my word, and my word comes to pass, he says, thou shalt fear him because he is a prophet of God. What does that tell you? There are people in the name of prophets that can speak. But what validates a prophet isn't prophesying based on revelative dimension. What validates a prophet is the fulfillment of the prophetic utterances. Because you see, demons can glimpse into a person's life via familiar spirits, monitoring spirits. And then come and give somebody the information. And the person prophesies it. But you see, there is something devils lack. They lack the ability to substantiate the assertion of the prophetic. They lack it. That is why God says, you shall know a true prophet by the word he speaks being substantiated. The ability of that word to come to pass in your life. The conviction of being born again. Being born again is based upon conviction, not emotions. I'm saying that because next time you want to lead somebody to Christ, you should really know how to lead the people to Christ. You should understand this. Amen. Next time you want to lead somebody to Christ, speak with conviction. Because when you speak from emotion, all the person will receive is emotions and accept based on emotions. So it means your word must come out baited from convictions of who the person of Christ is. So you see somebody just goes and sits with somebody and then asks the person, are you born again? The person says, I think so. Say, no, if you are born again, you will know. If you are still thinking so, it means you are not born again. Say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, come into my life. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. No. You just told the person, say this prayer after me. You have sidetracked a major aspect of salvation, which is believing in the heart unto righteousness. You must understand this. That's why it looks like wrong things happen to some Christians. Because this basic fact is missing in their lives. So for you who is going out there as an ambassador for Christ, you will pay him to know how to actually lead people to Christ. You can't just go to somebody and say, are you a Christian? The person said no. Some have said, okay, Many people now, once you say, are you born again? They will tell you yes. So use a term that they don't understand so that they can say no. Listen, getting people saved is not about counting numbers to say I've saved so and so. It's not about counting numbers. It's about truly saving a soul. It's not about numbers. Am I therefore saying don't save a lot of souls? No. What I'm saying is take your mind off numbers and focus on establishing and truly getting somebody saved. That's what counts. The Bible says there is rejoicing in heaven over one soul being saved. So one counts for something. Let me help you understand more. Imagine if somebody like my father in the Lord, Joshua Aginla, wasn't saved. Now you understand. It means I don't have a covering over my head. Imagine if somebody like Pastor Chris wasn't saved. Or imagine if somebody like Reinhard Bonnke wasn't saved. But you see, that was one soul that was saved. See the ripple effects they are leaving upon their generation. All you need is concentrate on a soul. It means more than the whole world to God. A soul. Concentrate on getting a soul actually saved. Not confessing based on mental assent from the head. Anybody can say, Lord Jesus. But how many people can say, he says, even the devil believes and trembles. How many people can really say, Lord Jesus, from the heart? That is what counts for salvation. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8, verse 2. He says, for the law of the spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, has freed me from the law of sin and death. Did you see that? The law of what? The spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, have set me free from the law of sin and death. Let me help you understand that. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the spirit. What does it mean to walk in accordance or in accordance to the dictates of the spirit? It therefore means you are walking according to the law of the spirit of life. It therefore means you are walking in accordance with the law of the spirit of life. And we say the law of the spirit of life, what do we mean? Jesus says the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So, walking in the spirit simply means walking in accordance with the word of God. So when he says the law of the spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death, this is what it means. How free you become from the influence of sin and death over your life is how acquainted you are with the law of the spirit of life. That's another reason why many Christians suffer. They are born again. Yes. On the last day, will they go to heaven? Yes. But meanwhile, before they get to heaven, they are passing through hell. On their way to heaven. Why? The law of the spirit of life is the only thing capable of setting you free from the law of sin and death. So you see, how acquainted you are with the law of spirit of life, the word of God, is what determines your deliverance. That's what determines your deliverance. How can bad thing happen to you and you say, well, God is my maker, all things work together for good? You just had an accident, you say, yes, it is working for my good. Really? Can you explain to me how? Number one, you might spend time holding crutches. That means you can't really go out for evangelism. Number two, you are going through pain. Number three, they are wondering, he's a Christian. See what happened to him, and you say he's working for your good. How? You see, Christians say certain things out of ignorance. The Bible says all things work together for good. There's a class of those all things work together for good for. Them that love God. And loving God is not, Lord, I love you. No, it's not that simple. When it says all things work together for good to them that love God, is from the Greek word agapeo, which involves an action. The question is, when he says, for God so loved the world, what did God do? He gave everything he had for man. So when he says all things work together for good to them that love God, it means to them who are giving everything to God. You cannot give everything to God and your life will work in error. Not possible. So before you quote that scripture next time, think again. All things work together for good. To them, there's a class of people that all things work together for good for. Them that love God. That means even among the Christians, the exemption principle is to them that love God. Your love for God is what determines all things working together for good. That means nothing will work against you. But what determines it is you loving God. And loving God, I say again, is not, Lord, I love you. Oh, Lord, I'm in love with you. Lord, I... No. It's more than that. God demonstrated love to us by giving everything when we didn't even qualify for it. That is why it amazes me when children of God, they want God to qualify for the love they show to him. What has God done for me? Why should I serve him? I've been serving him all these years. Genuine love is not based upon, is not based on mutual exchange. If you truly love God, you are not going to do things, worship him because he has done something for you. You worship him for who he is and because you chose to. Genuine worshipers worship God out of free will and out of a heart of love. Not because God has done something for them. Genuine worshipers. Amen. He says, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. So you see, even sin and death has its laws. It has its principles. Just as God has his principles. Verse 3. He says, for God has done what? He says, for God has done what the law could not do. Being weakened by the flesh, the entire nature of man without the Holy Spirit, sending his son in the guise of sinful flesh as an offering for sin, has condemned sin in the flesh. Did you see that? Has condemned sin in the flesh. Oh, glory to God. See what Jesus came to accomplish in your life. He says he subdued sin in the flesh. That means sin shouldn't be your problem anymore. Have you heard this before? Before you pray, start with the prayer of sin for God to forgive you all your sins. So before you say anything, you say, Father, every sin of omission, every sin of commission, knowingly or unknowingly, intentionally or not intentionally, Father, forgive me for my sins. It's a routine. Because such people believe it is not possible to live a day without sinning. But look at that. Look at that. Look at that scripture. It says, for God has done what the law could not do, being weakened by the flesh, the entire nature of man without the Holy Spirit. He says, sending his own son in the guise of sinful flesh as an offering for sin, God condemned sin in the flesh, subdued, overcame, deprived it of its power over all who accept that sacrifice. So sin has no power over you. It is possible to live a sin-free life. Do you understand? You have the ability and the power to live a sin-free life. That means if you are not, as a believer, living a sin-free life, it's because you made the choice to, not because God did not give you the power. The truth about being born again. We have believers in this generation who still think it's not possible to do without sin. Like, if they don't think, they know that is not possible to do without sin. And they'll give you genuine, concrete reasons why it is not possible. Why? They are walking in the flesh. But know today that everything necessary to live a life void of sin, God has made available to you. Everything necessary to live a life void of lying, a life void of fornication, a life void of bitterness, a life void of adultery, God has made it available. So if you are still lying, it's because you chose to. If you still steal, it's because you chose to. If you still entertain bitterness in your heart, it's because you chose to. If you are still haughty towards people, it's because you chose to. Don't tell me, hey, you don't understand. You are not in my shoes. If you know what they did, maybe you understand. It's because you don't know. You see, experience is the best teacher. You didn't go through the experience, so you don't understand. Brother, irrespective of your experience, I chose to stand by what God has said. Sin has been destroyed in the flesh. It is possible to live a sin-free life. All you need to do is tell yourself that and walk in the reality. If you need to stop lying, all you need to do is stop. Just like that. Yes, just like that. Tell yourself, in the name of the Lord Jesus, Jesus destroyed sin. Lying is a sin, so I can't lie. But no, because you've made yourself believe, no, you can lie once in a while. That is why you should always ask for forgiveness. What you don't understand is, you just made provision for an excuse. And the devil, through that excuse, will gain access into your life. The same thing with believers. Their life, everybody surrounding them is the wrong company. They have the wrong friends. Some is even worse. Wrong company in your life. And they said, it's not as if I don't want to let them go. I have been trying, but it is not working. That's the point. You have been trying. Start doing. The moment you start doing, not trying, it will start working. Should I tell you the difference between trying something and doing something? Let me give you a very simple instance. Let's assume you want to walk out of this church auditorium now, right? And you said, when it's time to walk out of the church auditorium, this is how I walk. Do you know what you are doing? You are trying, but you are still at the spot. When you are ready to walk, you start walking. So the reason why things have not been working is because you are still trying. When you start doing, it will start working. Amen. When you start doing, it will start working. He said the Bible says we should confess, we should say it, and it will happen. I've been calling it for. In fact, I am even tired of calling it for. It has refused to come. What kind of a life is this? From what you just said, I can tell why it didn't come. You see, you've gone out of the realm of asking to the realm of being haughty and upset about it not coming. And that alone has the ability to validate the power of that word from coming to pass. The Bible says when you ask, believe that they have received and live in the consciousness. So what you should be doing is thanking God, having received. Whenever it comes to your mind to say, oh God, it has still not come. You see, faith doesn't make sense. Faith makes spirit. The Bible says when ye ask, believe that ye receive and ye shall have it. Can I ask you a question? If you believe that you have received and you have it, why are you still saying, Lord, give me? You see, you have not actually believed that you have it. Can you ask for a shoe when you are wearing one? So you see, what you need to work on is your mindset. The truth about being born again. There is a life that God has called you to live as a born again. That if you must experience success in your life and everything that concerns you, you must walk in accordance to that life. Some people are Christians, but they are living a lie. They are living a life of false Christianity. The only thing born again about them is the title, I am saved. And it stops there. Look at verse 4. He says, so that the righteous and just requirements of the law might be fully met in us who live and move. Look at that. Who live and move, not in the ways of the flesh, but in the ways of the spirit. Who live and move, not in the ways of the flesh, but in the ways of the spirit. Number one, living. Living. How do you live? Amen. How do you live? He says, who live and move? Who live and move? Not according to the flesh, but according to the spirit. Let me ask you this question. The last person you made to become your friend, did you make that person your friend according to the spirit or according to the flesh? The last time you made a decision to visit that person, did you visit according to the spirit or according to the flesh? The last time you decided to study for that exam, were you studying according to the spirit or according to the flesh? So you see, though you are a child of God, you are a born again, every move you make has to be in the spirit. If you are to experience an exemption in your life, there's one thing I've come to understand about God. He shows you the way, makes everything available for you to walk in that path. But whether you walk or not, it's up to you. It's not up to him anymore. The difference is when you decide to walk in his path, he rewards you and increases you. So to walk in the path he has destined for you, you are not doing him a favor. You are doing yourself a favor. You are doing yourself a favor, not him. It's like somebody who they told him, come and get a job. Come and get a job where they will pay you 1.5 million naira. And he said, no, I don't need it. You don't need the job. The reward that should come. What is salary? Salary is reward for service being rendered. You cannot serve God and Him not reward you. So when you walk in the flesh, all you are doing is denying yourself the privileges of rewards. God told me one time, He said, son, when you give people instructions to do things, He says, if they don't do it, He says, don't bother. He says, if they don't do it, don't bother. I was like, they don't do it, I shouldn't bother. Then the Lord told me, He says, don't bother. Because whenever they obey the instruction I give through you, He says, they are being blessed and they are being rewarded. If they don't, they rob themselves of the reward, not you. So don't bother when you give instruction and people don't do things. And it removed the load from my head. Suddenly I became very free and very, very calm. That is why I've decided to be more like my father. All I do is tell you what to do. Whether you do it or not, it's up to you. But you see, I've washed my blood from your head by telling you the right thing. Whether you do it or not, it's now up to you. Why? You are not a robot. You have a choice. You have a will. God created it, created you with a will. That is why salvation is a thing of choice. It's not by force. So you must understand this. The truth about being born again. If you are indeed born again, there's a life. There's a way you should walk. There is a way you should do things. You say you are born again, yet you make the choice to do the wrong and wrong things only. Yet you say you are born again. You are born again, yet you walk in accordance to the flesh. You are living a lie. The truth about being born again is, if indeed you are born again, walk in Christ, walk in the Spirit. If you are born again, because that's the life God has called you to. Let me help you understand. Have you ever seen a native doctor coming to church? The native doctor is always in his shrine. Why? He is a native doctor. He understands who he is, though living in darkness. 24 hours, go, you see him in the shrine. He understands who he is. You call yourself a child of God and a born again, yet you will not discipline yourself to walk as a born again. But the truth about being born again is, if you must experience everything God has in store for you, then you must make a conscious and a deliberate decision to walk in the reality of your salvation. You have to walk and move in the reality of your salvation. You go to places, you just go to places without being led. And then something happened that shouldn't happen, and you say, oh God, why me? You talk to people and you talk to people based on the flesh without any spiritual inclination, and then things go south and you say, oh God, why are things like this? Were you talking in the spirit or were you talking in the flesh? You see, come to a point where you don't practice Christianity only in church. Christianity is a heart work. Listen, Christ should be reflected in every aspect of your life. By every aspect, I mean every aspect of your life. You said you confess Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, right? As your Lord and personal Savior, right? Do you know who a Lord is? The word Lord, do you know what it means? It means Master. So you say Jesus is your master, yet you don't take permission from him to do anything you want to do. You act like your own boss. So how is Jesus your Lord? You said Jesus is your Lord, your master, yet he doesn't determine the friends you keep. The people around you doesn't bring any glory to God. How is it then your Lord? Now, I'm not saying kind of religious mentality that anybody who is not serious from God, you don't talk to them. When they greet you, good evening, you wave your hand and you move on. You are being religious. No, no, no. Even Jesus dined with unbelievers. Why? You carry the salvation they need. But you see, there's a way and a manner of operation God has given to you as a child of God. There's an exemption. There's a way you should live. The truth about being born again. You see, many people, they are born again, but they still want to live according to how they were living before they became born again. It doesn't work. You have a new life, and you have to live in accordance with that new life. If not, all you have is a title of a born again. The life will still be the same. Every wrong thing happening before you ever became a Christian will keep happening. Yet, you are a born again. Hallelujah. Verse 5. It says, for those who are according to the flesh are controlled by its unholy desires. It says, for those who are according to the flesh and are controlled by its unholy desires, set their minds on and pursue those things which gratify the flesh. Did you see that? It says, but those who are according to the Spirit and are controlled by the desires of the Spirit, set their minds on and seek those things which gratify the Spirit. Can I ask you a question? What do you seek after? You see, you are born of the Spirit. So by default, you should live seeking and gratifying the desires of the Spirit, not the desires of the flesh. Why? You are born again. You are born again. So you should live gratifying the desires of the Spirit, not the desires of the flesh. Because you are born again. So make up your mind not to live a lie. You see, many people think it is God. Look at that scripture very well. For those who are according to the flesh and are controlled by the flesh and its unholy desires, set their minds. Did he say God set their minds? He says they set their minds, not God. Let's go on. But those who are according to the Spirit and are controlled by the Spirit, by the desires of the Spirit, set their minds on the things of the Spirit. So you see, it is not God that helps you make up your mind. It is you that makes the deliberate decision to set your mind on the things of the Spirit, not God. He says they set their mind. So the setting of your mind is up to you, not up to God. It's up to you to make up your mind to live in accordance to the Spirit. It is not God's job. Have you heard this? If God wants me to be holy, I'll be holy. If God wants me to be righteous, I'll be righteous. If God wants me to pray 10 hours today, he will make me pray 10 hours a day. No, you are talking based on ignorance. If God is to make you do things void of your will, then God is violating his own principle, which is the power of the will he gave to you. So not even God can force you to do things. Not even God. God can only tell you what ought to be done, but it is your choice to either do it or not. He says, those who are in the spirit, he says, they set their minds on the things of the spirit. They set their minds. They set their minds. So now that you are born again, you have to make a conscious and a deliberate decision to set your mind on the things of the spirit. That means you might not always want to study God's word, but you discipline yourself and set your mind on studying God's word. You might not really want to pray, but you discipline yourself and set your mind on praying. You might not really want to go out on evangelism, but you discipline yourself and set your mind on evangelism. Very important. You have to learn to set your mind. Hallelujah. You need to learn to set your minds on the things of the Spirit. It doesn't happen automatically. Hallelujah. That means next time you don't feel like doing something that will bring all glory to God, discipline yourself and deliberately set your mind on that thing. It's not God that will set your mind. You are the one that will set your mind. All you need to do is tell God, Father, I receive grace to do this. But the setting of the mind is your responsibility, not God's. Look at verse 6. He says, now, the mind of the flesh, which is sense and reason without the Holy Spirit, is death. Death that comprises all the mysteries arising from sin, both here and hereafter. But the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. This is where it says to be carnally minded is death. Did you see that? So where you position your mind is very important. There is an aspect where you position your mind on the flesh and all you see is death. Now, most of the times when people hear death, all they think is dying on the natural. Not necessarily. When it says to be carnally minded is death, this is what it means. You are supposed to experience life in your academics. Your grades is supposed to be wonderful unto the glory of God. But your grades will not be. What are you experiencing? Death. So when we talk about death, we are not just talking about you dying and not waking up. No. When you are carnally minded, you experience death in area of your life. Places you should be enjoying, you experience death in them. Why? Because you are carnally minded. It says, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So when you don't experience peace, if you don't experience peace and life, it's because you stepped out of walking in the spirit into walking in the flesh. Once you don't experience peace, you stepped out from walking in the spirit into walking in the flesh. And because you stepped out into the flesh, the reward of the flesh takes its preeminence. So you must learn to discipline yourself to walk as indeed the child of God that you are. You must what? Discipline yourself. Set your minds on the things of the Spirit. Listen. Whenever you walk in the flesh by chance, it will cost you. Whenever you walk in the flesh by chance, it will cost you your happiness. It will cost you your peace. It will cost you your joy. Listen, not because God is punishing you for walking in the flesh. No. The reason why it happened is because God told you to walk in the spirit to exempt you from the pain to begin with. The reason why you should walk in the spirit is because you are supposed to be exempted from any pain. So when you don't walk in the spirit, you experience pain. Not because God is punishing you, but because that was what God was trying to save you from. Rise on your feet and talk to God. Go ahead and talk to God.